Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the February 11th, 2024 service at Plymouth, Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. God's glory fills the earth, but sometimes we, like Elisha, do not think we are ready to encounter glory. And yet, God's glory showed up anyway. Sometimes we are like the disciples who witnessed Jesus' transfiguration and wanted to cling to that one glorious moment. And yet God called them down from the mountain. So we gather today, some of us feeling ready and some of us feeling wholly unprepared. Yet all are called together to worship and to be led by glory out into the world. God, may we perceive your glory all around us, pointing us in the way you want us to go. Amen. Next is the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Scripture reading this morning is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near Elisha and said to him, "Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other, and the two of them crossed on dry land. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. This is the word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, "Thy Word."
Turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel reading of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. He was then transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling bright, as if no one on earth could brighten them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the clouds came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I've been preaching a series with you since I've come, and you've not asked me to leave, and I'm very grateful for that. And greet me with, "Oh, you're back." Whew. Good thing. And I have to say, after these weeks of hearing me preach, I get to greet you with, "Oh, good, you're back." Harold, you too. Glad you're back. Today I focus on this Transfiguration Sunday on crossing over. We're at that point in the year when it's time for us to pivot away from Epiphany itself and turn toward Lent. We've spent several weeks since Christmas focusing on becoming the people of God and different aspects of what that means to us. Now, as Lent approaches, it's time for us to get down and even dirty with the important work that Christ calls us to do in the valley between the mountains. Jesus being raised on the cross of Good Friday and Transfiguration Sunday is a point where we pivot our gaze to the journey ahead. Our Old Testament passage with Elijah the prophet, he's a marked man. His opposition to idolatry and injustice in the midst of spiritual and social confusion placed him with a target on his back. Indeed, it seemed to him that he was alone and that everyone, even the nations, had turned against him in standing up for the name of the Lord. And so Elijah, that fugitive, seeks refuge in a cave. And in that cave, God speaks to him, shows him power and force, and then speaks to him in a still, small voice. It's there in that cave where he spends the night. And then God gives Elijah a new mission, recognizing, Elijah, your time is drawing to an end, and it's time for you to hand the baton on to another. And so he does. He hands that baton on to his trainee, his mentee. And in Elisha, he hands that baton. And then now in our passage, we see him caught up with a chariot. And sweet chariot, he's called home. As we turn from our Old Testament passage then to the New Testament, Jesus goes up to a high mountain with his inner circle of disciples. He, on that mountaintop, is transfigured. However, let's look at the context of this happening. What happens before it and what happens after? At the end of the previous chapter, chapter 8, Jesus is telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to have suffering. He's going to be killed and then raised on the third day. The leader in that group, Peter, speaks up. And Peter speaks up to say, no, this can't happen to you. Not a chance. No, this must not be the way of the road ahead for you. And Jesus grabs Peter and sets him aside to say, get out of my way. You're doing things wrongly. Get behind me. You are a stumbling block. And Jesus goes on to turn that moment into a moment of learning. And he turns to the rest of the disciples and tells them that if any of you want to follow me, it's going to cost you, even your lives, to follow me. That's what's happening before this passage of Transfiguration. But what happens immediately after? As Jesus and his disciples go down the hill, they encounter a man bringing his son who's possessed by a demon. And in that possession, this demon is even casting the boy into water or into fire. Imagine what that would do to you and me as a parent or a grandparent. So our passage today is bookended by these two events. Both of them talking about life and death events. And the one that ends them coming down from the mountaintop to the valley is the young boy's life that hangs by a thread when a demon casts his body into water that he might drown or into fire that might scald him and burn him. In between these two stories, the transfiguration happens. These two realities greet each other at this time of year. When we gather to say goodbye to the season of Epiphany, of Jesus appearing on the scene and beginning his ministry, and saying hello to the season of Lent, we indeed cross over. Like Elijah and Elisha did in the Old Testament, they crossed over to the other side before the chariot came. Jesus knows that there's a time of talking, and then there is a time of walking. which is why today Jesus invites us to stop talking and start walking. Start walking the mountainside together. And here we are, invited to cross over to Lent. Years ago, there was an individual that in his boring and very orchestrated life, he thought he couldn't just sit there, but he wanted to do something. And so lo and behold, he got this idea that though he knew he couldn't fly as a human being, he had no airplane, no training for that, he wanted to get up where the air was clearer and he wanted to see a great distance. So he went to his little garden shed, pulled out his favorite lawn chair, and then began strapping to it balloons. You may have heard this story about Larry Walters, that in 1982 he got this idea that I want to go up there. Now, lawn chairs, the type that he had is the type with the fabric goes back and forth through it. It's very lightweight aluminum. If you sit just wrong in it, it will collapse and swallow you for life. You know the lawn chair. It's not like these new camping chairs that you buy at REI and other places and you pop them out and you could drive a truck over it and they would stand up. That was not the chair that Larry Walters chose to strap his balloons to. So he put his balloons to his chair. And he made a number of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and put them in a bag and strapped them to his leg. And he took his BB gun along so that when he gets up there, he has a way of getting back down from there. He would pop one balloon at a time. Imagine if he set them all loose. Whoops! Anyways, so what happened? So Larry Walters said about this, filling them all with helium. And I think from this story, we get the wonderful children's story of up. Yes, great inspiration. Well, Larry Walters did go up. And from a ground perspective, he almost disappeared from sight. He was just a little blip in the air. You could just barely see him with the naked eye. But he was identified by the airline pilots as they were coming in for final approach to the nearby airport. That they reported him at 16,000 feet. He was up there, all right. I would be a little nervous having my feet that far off the ground in a rickety old lawn chair. But Larry Walters is now a legend. And there are others that have taken lawn chairs to attempt to go even higher. And of course, their names will be found in the Book of Guinness World Records. So if you'd like to check, please Google that. Larry Walters didn't want to just sit and see the world pass by. He wanted to do something about it. Lent is a time of walking and doing. For the weeks that I've been with you, we've listened to the stories of Jesus, and all of that is well and good. But if we do nothing but listen, if we do not allow the stories of the Bible to actually change the way we look, the way we think and the way we act, what's the point? If we do nothing but come to worship each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at Plymouth Presbyterian Church, 2615 Sykes Road, and never do anything about it, well, I have some tough news for you. You're not Christian. What you are is a churchgoer. Let me put it another way. If we were to simply stay up on the mountain with Jesus at the Transfiguration, if we were simply to stay there and never go down to the valley, the little boy who's being possessed by a demon and harmed, whether thrown in water or thrown in a fire, that little boy would never get the help that Jesus could bring him. At the bottom of the valley, there are those who need our help and need what we know of the love of God, either spoken to them, shown to them, given to them. So after we have basked in the light with Jesus and Elijah and Moses, it's time to pop one balloon after another and go back down where we live. Go back down where living happens. We might be tempted, like Peter, to say, oh, let's stay. Let's find some camping equipment and let's stay right here. We can do it for a long time. This would be really, really good to do. The temptation to do that is very strong. But that would mean the good we could do in the valley would never happen. And Jesus would have none of that. And so we begin the hard work of Lent starting this Wednesday, when we smear ashes on our forehead at an Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary, and we remind ourselves that we are just fleshly mortals. We have a limited time on this earth, and then we're gone. And when we're gone, we graciously join Jesus. But while we're here, we also join Jesus in the very important work of turning this world in a new direction. It is so divided right now. It is so prone to attack, we human beings attacking one another and tearing each other apart. We're so quick to bomb and shoot bullets at one another. How long? How long will we look at each other down the barrel of a gun? How long? We're asked to join Jesus in reconciling this world and turning it in a new direction. This Lent study will focus on the disciple Peter and where he wanders closer to Jesus and other times wanders away from Jesus. We'll learn about wandering faith from his perspective. And along the way, we may find that we identify very much with the disciple Peter. We'll start the following Tuesday on February 20th with a Lent series, study series. We'll do it by Zoom, and we'll have study guides available for you beginning on Wednesday and also every Sunday through the Sundays of Lent. So friends, there's much work to do. So let us not be seduced by the mountaintop experience. Instead, let us be transformed, even transfigured by what we see up there, but not seduced. We can't allow such a mountaintop experience of feeling this close to God and the love in Jesus that we don't go any further. So whether they are out there or in here, in this very room, it can't keep us from seeing the folks that need help in the valley. Going in a little different direction for this, perhaps you, yourself, do not feel welcome on the mountaintop with Jesus. Perhaps you feel like you've been perpetually stuck in the valley, or even along with the demon-possessed boy. That's the life you live and your neighbors you live with. Lent is a time of soul searching, of spirit encountering, that when we both as individuals and as a faith community do the hard work of walking along with Jesus to where Jesus leads us. Indeed, this Lent season, we are crossing over to a new side. So join me here in the sanctuary on Wednesday night as we begin Lent together on Ash Wednesday. And then also in the Lent series that we'll be doing on Tuesdays the following week and all the way through until Holy Week and Easter. We are crossing over, people. And God loves us this much to know us so well and say, I love you enough to not leave you where you were. Not to leave you where you are now, but to invite you to come with me. Crossing over. Go in the strength and power of what you witnessed in this place, knowing that the glory that leads us into transition also comforts us in our growing pains and sustains us as we take up our mantle and cross over to the other side. My friends, go in love. Go in peace. Amen.